love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
Right before I went to bed, I looked at my bank statement and saw that I had $62 left for myself and my wife, and, you know, left for us to live on over the next week or so. And I realized I just didn't know what I was doing. And the fact of the matter is that I tried to control every aspect of my financial life.
Let me tell you a little bit about this whole I love my church thing and how that plays out. The last few weeks we talked about that, and we're in week four today. But let me tell you how I saw something play out just this past week that brought a great deal of joy to this old pastor's heart. We've been talking a lot about community and how that fits within the body of Christ and how the church is to be a community of believers. We do life together. And because we do life together and because of the calling that we have on our lives as Christians and as the church, we are called to serve. And we talked about that last week. Let me tell you how that played out this week. And I tell you what, we had a blast. On Wednesday night, we had our trunks of treats here at Neighbors Grove to be just to try to be a blessing to our community. And maybe some of you weren't here, maybe some of you don't know this yet, but Neighbors Grove had the opportunity of blessing around 1,000 people on Wednesday night here for our trunks of treat. Isn't that great? Let's praise the Lord. Amen. What a great time we had. We almost got in a little trouble even at that, having a good time and caused a traffic jam. But we had a great time, and it was just a real joy to be able to be part of something like that and bless our community. You know, I'm really thankful, if I can say this right quickly before I get into the message. I'm really grateful and I'm really thankful beyond words at the way that God is working here at Neighbors Grove. There are just some great things happening. Boy, last Sunday we had a great time with our youth and the youth parents, and thanks to Martha who helped so much with that. And we just had a great time. I think we had 32 people that went to Kersey Valley. Then we had a bonfire and a cookout. Just had, I don't know, probably 45 or 50 people there. And we just, God is doing some, just doing some great stuff. Amen. And I just really rejoice in what He's doing here at Neighbors Grove. And I can say, I can honestly say with all of my heart, no kidding, really, I love my church. Amen. I love my church. You love your church if you do say so. I love my church. I love my church. I love what God is doing in this church. And I'm just excited about that. And I'm looking forward with great expectation of what He's going to do in the future. So I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're part of this service. I'm glad for all of those that came to be in the first service. And it's just really exciting as we are getting into, we're about to get into our second month of offering two worship services, and it's just been such a blessing, and it's been a real joy for me to be part of this effort. Now, I have one thing that I'd like for you to do, okay? The first service has been outrunning us a little bit in attendance. So between now and next Sunday, you got to be responsible for bringing at least one person with you, okay? All right? And let's fill the place up. I think it's worth coming here, don't you? I do. I think it's really worth coming to church here at Neighbors Grove. If it wasn't, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So invite some folks, and next week, let's fill the place up. I'm looking forward to the day that we really need to have some discussion about a third service. Amen. Amen. If you're going to dream, dream big, right? Okay? And so let's dream. And let's reach out there. There's a lot of people. Oh, there's a world of people out there that need to experience and know what you and I are experiencing and what we know. Amen. I love my church. Week four, we're talking today about giving. Now, I told the first service, don't get excited. A lot of people get a little bit nervous when the preacher starts talking about giving, and they think that I'm going to start beating everybody over the head about how much money you give to the church. It's not exactly what this message is about. But it's about helping us recognize that is cute right there. Look at him. He's smiling at me. He's getting into the service. That's great. It's about helping us recognize that sacrificing and meeting needs is really all about our expressions of love one to another. You got that? Don't miss that. Is that that sacrificing and meeting the needs of others is a real expression of love within the body of Christ. Now, before we get into that, I want to just give you a little illustration. Some of you see this trunk up here. We normally use this for our what we call our chest offering, which is pretty obvious, at least obvious since that's a chest. But it's our chest offering that we usually take once a month. We take up a special offering for some special project that we're doing around the church. I'm using it for something a little bit different today. But it's a trunk. And most of us probably have some type of trunk at home where we put special things in. Y'all have that? Y'all, for us, usually it's just one of them old plastic tubs, nothing too fancy. But there is a cedar chest there and some different things that's got some stuff in it. Some things that are precious to us, some things that are meaningful, some things that belong to like some of our parents and even grandparents and stuff. And we've hung on to them because they're precious, they're special. It's something that we want to hang on to. And the idea is that someday, maybe, I don't know, someday maybe someone else that's coming behind us might realize how special that is and we pass it on to them. Maybe some of you had a hope chest and you know you filled that with things that you know it was that you hoped you would need someday or something that would be special someday. And probably all of us have something like that. Whether it's maybe you younger folks, or just if it's nothing but maybe a shoebox that you slide under your bed that's got some neat little things in it that you just want to hold on to and you want to hang on to. But for those of us that's older, maybe we've got some things that we really want to keep aside for a future generation. Something that we could maybe someday pass down to our children. And we all probably have some of those treasures that we just really want to hang on to. And we don't do it just to be hoarders. Maybe. Hope not. But we don't do it just to be hoarders. We hang on to them because we know that they might mean something to those that come behind us. Possibly someday, and I think, you know, I shared in the first service that, you know, I always envision myself someday digging through the attic or something and just finding that one thing that maybe would put you on the antique roadshow. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you take this old something that looks, you know, maybe looks just like a piece of junk, and then you find out that it's worth thousands of dollars. Ain't gonna happen in my attic. But anyway, it's a dream. You know, but do you ever dream like that? Do you ever think, oh man, just come across that one little thing, you know, and someday you find out that it, you know, it's really valuable and worth something. But regardless of all of that, we have things that's being saved because it holds hope or it holds promise or it's memories or possibly some value for the future. And to put it in a box for the time being is a sacrifice. A long time ago, I was an avid baseball card collector. And I've got a big tub about this big that's just completely full of baseball cards. Nothing there really valuable, I don't think. But it's something that I hope someday might be valuable for somebody in the future. But let me tell you, it's the same kind of concept that we see played out by the early church. And one very serious way we get to love our church by putting something aside, by sacrificing, by helping out, by planning for future generations. And all of those things, it's the same kind of principle that we see played out by the early church. And I want to read a passage. It's found in Acts chapter 4 and beginning in verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. It'll be up here on the screen. And I want you to follow along and I want you to read with me and listen to what it says. And this is talking about the believers in the early church and some of the things they did and some of the things that they practiced that illustrate this whole point for us and this idea of our giving. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Now, what this tells us is that when it came to possessions, the first church knew how to help one another. They knew how to really love one another. And you got to wonder sometimes when you think about it in our context, and sometimes the way that we live out our lives, you got to wonder how long that it took someone to decide that, you know what, I'm not sure I want to give up this. I don't give this up. I want to hang on to it for a little while, and I just really don't want to do this. And I wonder sometimes if when we start holding tightly to our stuff, that sometimes we sound a little bit about like the movie clip that I'm going to show you here in just a moment. When it comes to our possessions, the first church knew how to help one another, to love one another. I wonder how long it took them to really decide that I just really would like to hang on to my stuff. How many of you ever been to the beach? How many of you have ever fed the seagulls? How many of you know that they are ravenous and they are loud? Amen? I wonder sometimes if we ever sound like this. How many of you ever seen Finding Nemo? And obviously, you know from that scene, there was a pelican caught a crab, and all those ravenous, loud seagulls started, mine, 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 mine. Isn't that sometimes the way we look at our stuff? Mine, 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 mine. You know what? The reality of it is, it's really God's. Amen. It's really God's. And I wonder sometimes, and how often in our lives, that we sound just like these crazy loud seagulls. And it's all about mine, 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 mine. So in light of all of that, I want to share with you for just a little while of how this should play out in our lives as a church, as a community of believers. I believe will really transform and change how we look at each other, and it's how we look at the church and how we look at all the stuff that we have in our lives. So in light of that, I want to share some things that we learn about how we view and handle our stuff. Okay? Number one, the first thing that we need to think about is simply this: release your grip. Release your grip. The passage in Acts, it says, not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. You see, the first church had a loose grip. They had a very loose grip. And in case we're quick to say, well, you know what? That early church, they didn't really have anything. They didn't have that much. They didn't have elaborate buildings, and they didn't have all this stuff. And they didn't have all of that. And so it wasn't much of a deal for them to have a looser grip. But let me remind you about the story, and some of you probably remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira. You remember the story how they were struck dead because they lied about how loose their grip was on their stuff? This is simply not the place to make excuses for being seagulls. Because the truth is, it's not ours. It never was. It's God's. We are His investors. And He invests with us. And I want to tell you, I really believe that in all that God invests in us, I really believe that He expects a good return on His investment. Amen. I believe he expects a good return on his investment. And his measurement for that good return is how we love others with it. How we sacrifice for others with it. Release your grip. It's not yours. Let me tell you, this isn't an easy sermon. I wrestled with this sermon. Almost skipped it. I knew I couldn't. But it's a hard sermon. It's hard for me to hear. It's probably hard for you to hear. But trust me, this is not a simple message of just give to the church, give to the church, give to the church. This is not the standard giving message that a lot of people grumble about when they come into the church and they say, every time I go to the church, all I hear is about money, money, money. That's not true. Because this is far more than about just money. It'd be easier to say, give it all to the church. We'll be your clearing house. And of course, we'll keep a little bit for administrative. I mean, that's kind of the way some things work, isn't it? Isn't that true? But the truth is, the first church didn't demonstrate their love by giving to a corporation called the church. They loved by sharing what they had with one another. By giving to the body called the church, the people. And though the apostles were helping with distribution, they clearly weren't maintaining the status quo or personal comfort. And hear me say, there isn't a thing in the world wrong with taking care of what we have. That's not what I'm saying. The fault comes when we fail as a church to meet the needs of people because of the status quo or personal comfort. So release and loosen your grip. There's a second thing, and it's simply this. We don't like this one either. It goes against the way we've been raised. It goes against our culture. And it's very simply, tighten your belt. Release your grip and tighten your belt. You know what? I really believe that as believers, that we need to seriously consider how we might make room and margin in our lives and even in our budgets to help other people. I have a deep appreciation for people that I see and people in this church that are willing to sacrifice to help other people. You know why? Because I believe that's what the church ought to be all about. Amen. I believe that's who we are called to be as we serve not only each other and we love on each other by serving each other and helping each other, but man, what a powerful message that is to the people outside the walls of the church. Verse 34 and 35 in our text says, there were no needy people among them, because those who own land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. That's powerful. And that says to me, and I shared this morning, that says to me that if there is somebody within our body of believers, there's somebody within our community of believers, if there's anybody that rushes to help someone in need within our church, it ought to be us. And in essence, we all are called to be first responders. When somebody in our church has a need, all of us ought to be willing to rush to their aid. And if it means a little bit of sacrifice, then we need to be willing to sacrifice. We need to be willing to tighten our belts. We talked about the chest, the trunk in front of me. The first century church wasn't keeping hope chests. They weren't storing up for a rainy day. They weren't even hanging on to their personal property. They were liquidating, folks. They were getting rid of it all so they could demonstrate their love for the church. Now listen, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying go home, put up a for sale sign in your front yard and go sell your car and do all that. That's not what I'm saying. And not all of us can move into the fellowship hall together. I'm just simply suggesting that if our lifestyles, mine included, keep us from being generous with people around us, maybe we need to think about tightening our belts just a little bit. You know, there's people all around us. I don't know how aware sometimes we are of what's going on around us, but there are people all around us who are going through difficult times. And that forces me to think, okay, how am I as a Christian? How am I investing my time and my talents and my treasures to be a blessing to somebody in need, especially within the community of believers? What about the single mom who's riding on borrowed time to work every day because her vehicle's in disrepair? What about the family whose dad has just lost his job and they might lose their home? Or the retiree who has to choose which prescriptions they can actually afford to buy? What about the promising college student who may have to drop out for lack of funds? You see, I'm not talking necessarily about the homeless person that's standing down on the street corner. And yeah, we ought to help the homeless. That's true. But the way we communicate love for the church is by making sure we aren't neglecting the needs of one another. You see, the reality is almost every Sunday some of us come and sit beside somebody that's got a need. And the only way that we can do that is if we know who those needs are and what those needs are. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's your responsibility to tell us what those needs are. And I am saying it is our responsibility to know one another deeply enough to recognize when there's a need. To look past the fences each of us have erected, and to really know each other. And when we're finally able to peer past the fence and see past the fence, we need to be ready to act on what we see. Because we've tightened our belts and loosened our grip. And once we've tightened our belts and loosened our grip, then we have the opportunity, and that was the third point, is this: make an investment. You know, I like to think about it, when we help people either individually or we either help people as a church, whether they be somebody within the church or somebody without the church, I like to think of it as an opportunity of making an investment, making a kingdom investment. And I believe really that's who we are called to be as the church. And once the first church ditched the mine mentality, it says nobody in the church ever had a need. Isn't that great? That nobody was ever in need. Needs were always met. And it was so fervent in this passage. It says the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them. You know what I believe? I believe this with all my heart. I believe a church that is really being the church and is giving and doing and working sacrificially to bless others, that God will pour out a blessing that you can't begin to measure. I believe that. I do. I really believe that. Because I believe that everything that God invests in us, He expects us to reinvest and get a return on His investment. And I believe that every time we do something, whether it's a compassionate ministry or whether it's some kind of missions effort or if it's just helping out somebody within the congregation, somebody whose home has been burned out or whatever it is, I believe with all of my heart that if we do it lovingly and sacrificially, that God will return it more than we ever could have thought about. I believe that. We practiced that for a number of years in one of my previous pastorates. And we really go headlong into missions. And when we really began to give and sacrifice and give to missions, it was amazing what God began to do. I believe it's a biblical principle. And what, listen, here's the next thing I want you to see from this passage. This is so good. And it's the next statement that'll be up here on the screen. And it asks the question, You know, what was the result of that generosity? And it says in there, it says, a powerful testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that great? Now, the church's generosity was turned into a powerful testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You see, that's the beauty of this. In all the things that we do, in all the generosity that we try to spread around, the beauty of it all is when we do it in the right spirit and we do it with the right heart and we do it to glorify God, is that it becomes a testimony to the world of Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's all about Him. And our generosity points others to Him. People knew the truth of Jesus in the early church. They knew the truth of Jesus. They really got a hold of the gospel and they understood what it was all about because it was modeled by that early church in that they were generous and they were sacrificial with their time and their talents and their treasures, and lives were changed because they became a living, breathing, powerful testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that worked for the first church will work for the church today. Amen. I believe that same kind of lifestyle, that same kind of ministry, that same kind of community has made a difference in that day, will make a difference in this day. I believe it with all of my heart. It wasn't just a missions program. It wasn't just another homeless shelter. It wasn't just another service project. The testimony was present because they were loving one another. The church needs to be more than a holy huddle or a spiritual country club. Listen, we have needs, no doubt we have needs represented in this room right this second that none of us knows a thing about. Maybe you recognize your situation and maybe it's quickened something in your thinking as was going through some of the illustrations and things about needs. But listen, we must be loving our church. Amen. We must be loving our church, the people who are our church, enough to see those needs. And then like the first church, we must be willing to meet those needs. So I'm going to ask you to do something kind of crazy this morning. The people in the first service responded well. I didn't prepare you for this. I didn't feel like I needed to. But I just wanted to do something this morning, and I want us to do something this morning that I think will be a tremendous blessing to some folks in our church who are experiencing needs. So I'm going to ask you to do something kind of crazy, but yet something kind of courageous. Okay? We can do crazy and courageous. I know you can. I've been here long enough to know that. That we can do something kind of crazy and courageous. So what I want you to do right now, and as soon as I say this, you're going to know where I'm going, but pull out your wallet. Go ahead, reach back, pull out your wallet. Now, you know, maybe we're not going to sell our house and maybe we're not going to get rid of our cars today. But in my, I don't have my wallet in my pocket, but I took what I had in my wallet. And you know, y'all got not getting off easy because I had to do this in two services. Okay? But I pulled what was remaining, what I had left in my wallet. I don't carry a lot of cash. I wish I could, but I don't. But I don't carry a whole lot of cash, but I took out what I, my wallet's empty. But I took out what I have in my wallet. And this represents all I have with me right now. Okay? What if we each did this? What if each of us gave just what we have in our wallets or our purses this moment? Maybe it represents a fast food run. or maybe it represents something else that we hang on to when we go by the coffee shop or whatever. Maybe it's the leftover change we have from our run to the grocery store. Whatever. Whatever it is. All we have at the moment, right now. Just like the first church. And what if we ask God to bless this investment that we're about to give and to use it to communicate love for His church, for His people. Not the building, for people. And then what if what ends up in the box is given to those in need? Now, I'm just simply asking you to think for a minute and see if this might be one time that you could part with something to show you love to someone who might possibly sit next to you on Sundays. Or somebody that you talk to on Sunday. Or share a Sunday school class with. Or something. But somebody you see at your church on Sunday. And what if that ends up in this box given to those in need? Now I'm going to ask you to do something for me. The trunk is open. And I'm going to ask you for just a moment. I know this isn't the way we normally handle offerings, okay? This is different. This is different. I want you to come up and drop whatever you got in your hand. And I want you to drop it in the trunk. And this coming week, we're going to bless somebody who has a need. Amen? We're going to bless somebody that has a need. And after we do that, I'm done. Chris, if you guys are going to come and lead us in a song. And I want you to think about it as you come, to understand that, listen, as the church, we all are called to be first responders. And I'm a firm believer, and I'll just share this little personal thing with you right quickly. Where I pastored in the past, I shared this and we lived this out or tried to live this out, but we were part of an organization much like Neighbors Grow is part of CUOC. We were part of an organization that does quite a lot the same kind of thing. And that's where we sent people for help who came in need. But listen, I want to tell you something. As pastor, this is what I believe with all of my heart. I believe that if we have somebody within our church who has a need, we got to take care of them. We don't send them somewhere else to get help. We are their first responders. And we, of all people, should be ready and willing to take care of our own. Yeah, we got to reach out to those people out there. And I'm not saying we don't do outreach. Yes, we do that, and we do it in a big way. But I believe within the church body, if we really love the church, and understand when I say I love my church, I'm not talking about the building. Okay? We're talking about people. And if I really love my church, and if you really love your church and we really love our church, then we're all called to be first responders to those in need. So I'm going to ask you to come. Chris, just come on up if you will. And we'll just wrap this up like this. While they're playing and singing, and you just join in, and while they're playing and singing, you feel free just to come up. If you want to drop some money in the box and be a blessing to somebody, and we're going to ask that God will take it, multiply it, and do great things. But more than anything else, somebody will experience a tangible way of knowing the love of God from the church. Amen?